Tantora Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Deviant Dark Dryads by Rick Gualtieri and Ari Carr, narrated by Andrea Ems. Chapter 1. Lying Down on the Job. Previously on The Adventures of Jesse Flores, I got blown up and met my mom. Okay, it wasn't quite as simple as that. I returned to the world of the living following 5 long years spent in Hades. All the world assumed I was dead and moved on. At least I'm guessing they were long years, mostly because it sounds dramatic. But the truth is, I had no idea. I can't remember a single moment of it. Yep, that was me. The girl who came back to life without a clue as to what her epic journey between life and death had entailed. Fortunately, there hadn't been much time to rue the missing chunk of my life, as the world had become hellbent on throwing mystery upon mystery at me. See, I'd gone to the underworld a 16-year-old girl with vampire-killing locks. I'd come back a 21-year-old woman wearing Amazonian garb and sporting hair that occasionally liked to turn blue. I hadn't been alone either. Wyatt had been there with me, but he'd changed too. One moment, he was a centuries-old vampire, then poof. The next, he was some weird mix of human, false icon, and death otter, depending on the time of day. And that wasn't even counting his vampire half-hunter. He'd eventually returned to Earth as well, as a separate being, one with both a fetish for killing me and a crazed yearning to rejoin with his former self. Sadly, as fresh as those memories were, they might as well have been a lifetime ago. Just as I was coming to terms with this new me, slowly figuring out my place in this world, I ended up walking into a trap. Not only had I failed to save some newfound Death Otter friends, but I'd almost been killed in the process. Neither the failure, the grief, nor the pain had been the worst of it, though. No, that had been waking up in a hospital bed, bandaged head to toe, and with no idea where Wyatt was. Then she showed up, sporting hair the color of fresh blood, a thick Bostonian accent, and an attitude problem that just begged to be punched out. She'd claimed to be the mother I'd never met. And the strangest thing was, I knew she was right. Call it instinct, women's intuition, or just a gut feeling, but something inside me had instantly recognized her. Too bad those same instincts also told me she was the absolute worst. I had no idea how long I'd been stuck in this hospital room slash prison. It had been at least a week. Maybe longer. It was hard to tell. There were no windows, at least that I could see, just the fluorescent lighting above the bed. Holly, as she called herself, had been my only visitor during that time, catering to my meds, emptying my bedpan, and changing my bandages. I had a feeling that wasn't her real name. She smirked every time I said it, but it didn't matter. Far more important was the isolation, long hours in that room, unable to move due to my injuries. I'd seen no sign of doctors or nurses. Only her, and her insufferably smug smile. Heck, she'd refused to answer my questions with anything other than riddles, leaving me with no idea as to Wyatt's fate, or whether my friends even knew I was missing. I couldn't count on the room's tiny TV to provide me with information either, as it stayed tuned to a channel that played nothing but telenovelas and infomercials. At this point, I was ready to give up the battle and buy the newest successor to the Thighmaster. The first few days, I screamed my voice hoarse, all to no avail. Afterward, the tears came, leaving me crying for those I'd lost and those whose fates remained unknown. Most of it was for me, though, lying there, helpless as a baby, knowing I'd failed whatever tests fate had thrown my way. Then, when there were no more tears left, that's when the true depression set in. I'd failed myself and everyone I knew. I couldn't punch it, burn it, or run away from it. All I could do was wallow. I'm no superhero. I wasn't even sure I was a person anymore. I was a broken lump of flesh, beholden to a woman I didn't... "Wake up, little one!" A sing-song voice called as the lone door to my room, my cell, opened. "I have a surprise for you." Holly stepped in, looking every bit the femme fatale. I gritted my teeth as she approached, feeling the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. I guess it wasn't hard to imagine her seducing my father, getting knocked up, then dumping the baby, me, at his doorstep, simply because I was an inconvenience to her free-spirited evil queen lifestyle. Yeah, so easy to picture that. But somehow, I knew she was more than just some random bimbo. A lot more. A darkness radiated from her. Something that spoke of power. An aura like the monsters I'd previously battled, but far more intense. Of course, that could have been because she was able to stand, while I was little more than a full body cast with shredded vocal cords. The jury was still out. And how are we doing this fine day, Jameson? I looked away. She's not worth it. Oh, stop that. Nobody likes a sulka, least of all me. Besides, I wasn't lying. I do have a surprise for you. Or maybe you don't want to hear about that scruffy cowboy after all. That caught my attention, and I swiveled my eyes toward her. I guess you do want to hear some news. She shrugged. Too bad I don't have any to share. Grr! What I do have, she continued, lifting a small cardboard box into view, is even better. We run on Duncan here, don't we? Much as I wanted to tell her to go to hell, my stomach betrayed me, growling as she pulled out one of the glazed delights. I couldn't help it. I'd had nothing but intravenous feeding since I'd woken up. Heck, I'd reached the point where I would have gladly bitten off one of her fingers had she gotten close enough. I think you're ready for solid foods again, she told me, holding the donut in front of my face. Hell's bells, I'm certain you're ready for more. Quite a bit more, if we're being honest here. You're my daughter, after all, and you've had more than enough time to mend. I couldn't have cared less about her platitudes, since it was painfully obvious I was anything but healthy. Right then, all I wanted was to feel some sugar sliding down my throat. Except she continued to hold it just outside my reach. Uh-uh. If you want it, you'll have to sit up and take it. There will be no free lunches on my watch, little one. What was that? She asked, leaning in. I struggled to form the words against the bandages wrapped around my chin and jaw. I can't. Can't or won't? What? Was she blind? Not only had I nearly been blown to bits, but this psycho had heavily insinuated upon my waking that I'd also survived major heart surgery. No matter how much she taunted me, both my body and brain had taken a beating. I was pretty sure even my bruises had bruises, under the swaths of gauze and plaster holding me down. Now here she was, taunting me as if she expected some sort of miracle. Fuck it, so much for the easy way. She pulled the donut away, scarfing it down in three big bites before licking her fingers. I have to give the humans credit. It's not quite as tasty as the soul of a newborn, but they got it damned close. No way. She's not talking about what I think she is. She can't be. Whatever thoughts I had on the matter were interrupted as she reached down, grabbed me by the thick bandages around my torso, and lifted me from the bed, tearing me from my restraints, not that I could have escaped without them. I could do nothing but shriek as pain exploded from every single inch of my body, my nerves relaying the extent of my injuries to my tortured mind. Oh, enough of that, Holly snapped, holding me aloft as if I weighed less than nothing. I can see you feeling sorry for yourself, and I simply can't tolerate that. To that end, I think it's time you discovered how effective the power of positive thought can be, especially for one such as yourself. What? Rather than answer, she flung me across the room like a rag doll. I slammed into the TV, sending sparks flying before I crashed in a heap. A moment later, she loomed over me, her eyes gleaming with murder. Shall we play a little game, Jameson? I'm going to tear you limb from fucking limb in the next 30 seconds. You have a choice. You can either lie there and die, or you can fight back and prove to me that you're not the mistake we both know you are. Chapter 2. Mistakes were made. One thing that's not addressed nearly enough in comic books is how much it hurts to be thrown through a wall. No matter how much super strength or epic toughness a hero might have, if the old pain receptors weren't dampened, then all it took was crashing into some wallboard to leave you stunned and reeling. My lungs screamed for air as I inhaled a small cloud of plaster dust. Likewise, my arms screamed with a different sort of pain, that of multiple IVs still stuck inside them. Guess I should have been grateful then that Holly chose that moment to grab the tubing they were still attached to and drag me back to her, ripping the needles out in the process. Did you honestly pick lay down and die? I expected better, even from you. I struggled to focus on my attacker, the mix of pain and drywall remnants creating a haze around her, but saw nothing but red, literally. Her eyes became crimson points of light, filled with malevolence as she once again bore down on me. Yet all I could do was lie there and gasp as I tried to force some air into my lungs, each icy wheeze chilling me to the bone as, wait, icy? Wasn't it bad enough that she was pummeling me to death? No, she'd cranked the AC up to Arctic levels as well. I wanted to snap something pithy at her. Heck, I would have settled for a scream at that point, but the cold seeped through me as if I'd been dunked in an icy stream and left to drown. I'm not even mad anymore, Jameson, just disappointed, Holly's voice whispered in my ear. Then I was sent airborne once more, thrown at yet another unforgiving surface. At least this wall had the decency to only crack and not crumble around me, like the casts on my legs. Goosebumps erupted from ankle to ass cheek the second the air touched my skin. So cold. Then came a familiar tingle, like back when I'd fought the Hecatonstoma, a race of stupid frog people who... What the? All at once, the red from my vision vanished. In its place, the world around me took on various shades of icy blue. That could only mean, really? Rather than deal with this situation, you're gonna lie there soaking up that nasty nether? I swear, you make a good case for abortion. Nether? It was the power of Hades, exuded by creatures native to that world, as well as dead souls who called it home. Did that mean there was an incursion happening nearby? Maybe not. This felt more like a trickle than a deluge. But my body was still able to draw in enough of the chilling energy to start numbing the pain in my body. Focus, child, Holly spat. I'd hate for you to die distracted. Insults, pain, sarcasm. I guess this was my life now. On the upside, the drip of errant nether deadened the pain as I was chucked into a gurney, shattering the casts around my upper body this time. I lifted my newly freed left arm and wiggled my fingers, amazed to find that I could do both. Shouldn't I have more scars, considering I was literally blown up? Speaking of scars, the words carved in my arm, false icon, carved in ancient Greek, began to itch and burn, like they were one of Zeus's STDs. Along with it came a voice inside my head. A voice or a memory?
You're not dead, Jesse, not yet. But if you fail to learn quickly, you will die, and then there'll be no one left to stop his plans.
And just like that, it fell silent before I could figure out who or what was butt-dialing my subconscious. What the heck?
What part of focus didn't you understand, girl?
Holly slapped me hard enough to ring my bell, but the freezing numbness had reached my face, meaning I felt nothing but the movement of my head rocking back. In that moment, the entire room flipped to a frigid blue hue. No, the room hadn't turned blue. It was me. My hair erupted in fire, much as it had done before my little trip to the underworld. Except instead of its normal red, it sizzled far more smurfaliciously as actual blue flames flickered in my periphery. Holly backed off, the hand she'd used to strike me now smoking. I burned her. I actually burned her. Blue flames were a new slot on my wheel of seemingly random powers, but I wasn't about to argue with it as I pushed myself to my feet. Wait, standing? But weren't my legs? Focus. It wasn't Holly screaming it this time, though. The voice in my head was back.
You owe me, girl. You killed one of my sacred creations and took something that didn't belong to you. The only reason you're still alive is because that egotistical bastard I once called husband corrupted my champions when he wasn't busy dipping his wick in every available hole.
Husband? Was she talking about...
He may have buggered off to some higher plane, the voice continued, but he left a hell of a mess behind. Fix it, and I might even let you keep that weapon you stole.
The weapon I... That was it. I couldn't help the smile that escaped my lips. Come here, you goddamned piece of junk. I wasn't sure if I said the words or thought them, but either way, it worked. A moment later, a chunk of wall exploded as my magical god-forged axe, Mjolnir, came crashing through it to land at my feet. I had no idea how or why the Mother of the Gods had decided to reach out to me when she had, but I wasn't about to look this gift horse in the mouth. With my body numbed against the pain, my hair on fire, albeit in a different hue than I was used to, and my axe within reach, it was time to give Holly the worst Mother's Day gift imaginable.
See? I knew you were faking it, she exclaimed, clapping her hands in delight.
I lifted the weapon, startled at how light it felt in my grasp, the grip bending beneath my fingers like it was cheap plastic. I paused to take a closer look at it. This wasn't Mjolnir. It was like those cheap barbarian props they sold at Party City around Halloween.
What the hell?
You'll excuse the smoke and mirrors, Jameson, but you needed the motivation, Holly said.
Smoke and mirrors?
So that wasn't
Hera whispering in your mind? Seriously? What do you think?
But why?
Why? Because I only have so much fucking patience. I've been waiting over a week for you to realize you could absorb ambient nether to recharge your batteries. But I guess you take after your father when it comes to being a slow learner.
She raised her hand to show the burns on her palm already healing, her grin smug and her face extra punchable. Despite being in a cast not 3 minutes earlier, I threw the fake Mjolnir at her head. She dodged easily, but that was okay. It allowed me to step in and throw a punch at her. Before I could even come close to connecting, though, Holly caught my hand and twisted, snapping my wrist. I should have been screaming in pain, but the cold still overwhelmed my nerve endings.
I know what you're thinking, but you have more tricks up your sleeve than you realize, baby girl. Consider this the second of many lessons to come.
Second?
Oh, yes. The first is don't fuck with mommy. You might hit hard, but she hits a lot harder.
And with that, I caught a backhand for my troubles. Painless as well, but more than enough to knock my extremely confused ass out.
I can sense your annoyance, little one, Holly said once I woke up.
I was still in my hospital room, now held together via duct tape and a prayer. Plastic sheets covered the holes I'd made when Holly yeeted me through the wall, beyond which I could just make out shadowy figures moving about. Holly gave an exaggerated wink as she noticed.
What? You didn't think the Queen of Chaos traveled without an entourage, did you?
Is that what you are? I asked, my voice surprisingly strong considering the past few weeks. I looked down to see I was now wearing a clean hospital gown with little dinosaurs on it. The skin of my arms and legs looked both normal and healthy, with nary a blemish to be seen, other than my false icon scar. I turned ever so slightly to notice a braid of bright red snaking past my shoulder, with the occasional sparkle crackling along its length. It was nuts. Not only did I feel fine, but it seemed my powers returned as well. Only the itching on my arm and chest remained as a reminder that anything out of the ordinary had happened.
I'm a lot of things to a lot of beings, Holly explained between taking sips from what looked like a beverage from my favorite bubble tea shop in Worcester.
She motioned to the nightstand where a second cup awaited, full of a pink milky drink and glistening tapioca pearls.
For instance, I'm the person who knows strawberry is your favorite.
I'm not big on red drinks these days. I lifted my gown to peer beneath it, finding a new scar over my heart in addition to the X-shaped one that had been there before.
Yeah, I guess nothing compares to a big old slurp of divine dick blood, eh? Still, if you hadn't been thirsty for what Uranus had on tap, we wouldn't be having this conversation. You'd just be a pile of chunks on a barroom floor, having ended your life tragically close to how you entered it. That's where you got your name, by the way, Jameson. My name is Jesse, I growled, finally able to take in this woman with clear eyes. She lounged in her seat, a sea of red curls surrounding her freckled face. Other than her hair color, though, I couldn't see a trace of myself in her pasty, busty, and exceptionally European-looking figure. Holly smirked, showing off a slight gap in her teeth. I know what you're thinking, and you're right. You see, Jameson, I'm not really your mother, but at the same time, I am. What the heck is she talking about? I raised a hand to rub my eyes, but found I couldn't move it that far. No doubt seeing the panic on my face, Holly said, Relax, you're not paralyzed or anything. It's just a little something to keep you from misbehaving again. She snapped her fingers, and a shadowy chain appeared around my right wrist, snaking down from it to a bolt on the floor. She had me trapped, for now. Here, I'll show you. If you're quick, you might even get a chance to say hi to Mommy. She slurped down the rest of her drink, the sound echoing in the now eerily still room. There came a flicker, a slight shift in the light. Holly's skin began to darken, and her features expanded and contracted with each breath we both took. I blinked, and suddenly, a woman with jet black hair lounged before me, her nose and facial features a dead ringer for my own. Her dark leather ensemble harkened back to this one in his human form, causing my heart to pound. This new form of Holly's stretched her arms overhead, showing off a perfect six-pack and tattoos wrapping around her midsection. She held out her hands to show her knuckles adorned with an ever-so-polite fuck and off lettered across the back of each. Then, for just a single moment, her whole expression softened as she stared at me in my bed. Two words echoed in my mind. I'm sorry. Holly's form shimmered again, back to the figure I'd become familiar with. Well, there you go. That particularly rebellious lunch from about 900 BC is your actual egg donor. I don't let her out much anymore. She makes questionable life choices. What? Are you saying you devoured my mother? No, I devoured the woman who would have been your mother had you been born 3 millennia earlier. Oh, by the way, I'd avoid doing one of those 23andMe things if the opportunity presents itself. Not sure how they'd handle finding out you're mostly Olmec. Olmec? But anyway, you get the drift. I am your mother, but the me you're currently talking to also isn't. Simple, no? No, not at all. Holly gave a bored yawn. Look, I know you have a million questions, but it's too complicated to explain. Your brain is too unevolved, and you know what? I'm getting hungry again. Her eyes glowed bright red, and claws extended from her fingertips. So I think there's only one thing left to do, little one. And what's that? I asked tentatively. I expected another throttling, maybe worse, but instead, she produced a cell phone. Make a reservation for two, of course. Chapter 3. Brunch with the Devil. It's almost funny how so many important events seemed to fall into my lap as of late. Here I sat, with the world falling apart around me, while this woman stared at me with utter contempt. You need to make a choice, whether you like it or not. It's just too much, I choked out at last. The sheer weight of everything punched me in the gut. My injuries, the loss of this one, Wyatt out there somewhere while his other half was obsessed with hunting us. For once, I wished for a lifeline so I could call someone, anyone, and ask what I should do. Nico, you out there, bud? Crickets. Seriously, you need to make a choice, because if I have to tell that goddamn waitress that you need another minute one more time, I am drinking her soul along with the rest of this Bloody Mary, young lady. And that brought me to the here and now, seated at a trendy gastropub with the monster who claimed to be my mother.
Barely an hour ago, I'd been lying at death's door. And yet here I was, debating between eggs Benedict on brioche toast and a kale salad with fried tofu, all to ensure the waitstaff didn't die a gruesome death. Weird how so much of my life seemed to hinge on breakfast. Why are we doing this? It's called brunch, and it's what mothers and daughters are supposed to do, she snapped, as her eyes momentarily glowed as red as her hair. Now order something before I... Before you what? Walk out on me for another 20 years? Or are we talking about ripping out my heart again while I try to figure out what you've done with my boyfriend? She took another sip of her drink and then scrunched up her face disapprovingly. Oh, yeah. I meant to talk to you about that. I'm afraid I don't approve of that boy at all. Before I could respond, the aforementioned goddamned waitress chose that moment to return. Just like all the other normies in the room, she didn't notice the shadowy chains tethering three of my limbs to the pissed-off redhead in the room. Nor did she notice the claws extending from my captor's fingers as she lifted her menu. 2, chicken and waffles. 1, this isn't IHOP, I said, doing everything I could not to scream. And 2, I don't even like waffles. My mother blinked a few times before opting to ignore me. Oh, and kindly get my daughter one of those pomegranate bellinis. She's going through a rough breakup. I could only sit there, dumbstruck, as the woman who'd been conspicuously absent throughout every trial in my life pretended to care. Sure, she batted her eyelashes and smiled like the sweetest cougar on the planet, but I could feel the darkness oozing from every freckled pore. What are you? I asked the moment our server strutted away. And don't start in with that I'm your mother crap again. I'm talking about the whole chaos queen part. Queen of chaos, she replied. We ancient entities are particular about our titles. Whatever. Just show me your real face. My real face? The air shimmered, and the pasty ginger in a way too short mini dress was once again replaced by the woman who looked like me. Except this time, she wore an ugly blouse and mom jeans. Fine. Is this better? I quickly scanned the room. No one seemed to notice the full-body transformation in their midst. No? Good, because if I have to stay in this outfit a second longer, someone is going to fucking die. Oh, I know. She snickered and shimmered again. This time I found myself sitting across from what could only be described as a were-otter sporting a leather bustier.
How about this? Yes?
I'm serious.
So am I, she hissed. All of these are me.
Okay, fine. Just stop it.
Oh, very well.
She flipped back to her original red-headed Amazon form. You're no fun, just like your father. How did I even tackle that subject? Between my head swirling, my chest pounding, and the spectral chains holding me down, I didn't know where to begin. Here was a woman with potentially all the answers I could ever want, and my old nemesis, tongue-tied Jesse, decided that this was the moment to take over. Maybe it was for the best, since I doubted I'd get anything approaching a straight answer. If only Wyatt was here, he'd know what to do with this.
You're thinking of him again, aren't you?
At least I didn't have to carry the conversation, because apparently, dear old mom's favorite thing in the whole wide world was the sound of her own voice. And before you ask, no tricks. Mothers simply know these sorts of things. Listen, child, I know you won't believe this, but it's better if you don't know where the hick is. It gives us a chance to work on your breakup speech. Trust me, you don't want to do it over text. That's just tacky. I am not dumping Wyatt. I haven't even, well, you know, with him yet. At least, not that I remember. Not to mention, that's sweet, in a pathetic sort of way. Holly leaned across the table and smiled. Still, that's a good thing. You see, it's not just that he's beneath you. He's also, how do I put this delicately, a bit on the old side. You're kidding me. Not at all. That whole pedo vamp thing might be considered romantic in the movies, but in real life, kinda creepy. That had to be the pot calling the kettle black. I needed to get out of here, but how? I debated trying to get my hair to light up. There was also the possibility of calling for Mjolnir, the real one this time, But a quick glance at a couple pushing a stroller down the sidewalk made me pause. She's keeping me in a crowd.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?